life-changing gospel. And we're going to see that together in this passage. So Acts chapter 5, verses 33 to 42. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. And a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Christ is Jesus. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Be with me as I preach it. This is your word, the message that you want for us to hear. So no matter where we may be coming into this sanctuary from, God, you are a God who meets us where we are at. So everything aside, all the distractions, would you cast them aside? Would we just pray that we would just lift them up before you? But that our hearts, our minds be ready to take in your word, your truth. Because God, your gospel is life-changing. And you want for us to live, change lives for your glory. So may we worship you and honor you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when we talk about the gospel being life-changing, for those of us who have experienced forgiveness through Jesus Christ, for those of us who have this new life, this changed life in Jesus, we can attest to that. We can proclaim it. The things that we once lived for are no longer the things that we live for. Ourselves, our own pride, our own success, the things of this world. But now we live for the one true God. We believe in Jesus Christ. And I think this is so important for us to know. And if we truly believe it, then we need to take this message and proclaim it so that as many other people as possible might hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus, that they will repent of their sins, that they will turn away from their own sinfulness and their own worldliness and turn to God in his holiness and righteousness. That they will receive his love and grace, and that their hearts, their lives will be changed, so that now they too will proclaim the life-changing gospel of Jesus. See, that's how it works. When you get to know Jesus, you want others to know about Jesus. So that's how we have to live our lives. This message of the gospel, this is what we preach at our church. That we, people, were made good in the image of God, but that sin entered into the world through disobedience, through man's disobedience, and that there was a chasm between humanity and God, but God did not destroy humanity. No, he had a plan of grace to send his only son, Jesus, into the world, being fully God and fully man, giving his own life, living a perfect life within his humanity, being fully God and fully man. What we could not do, what Adam could not do, and then he gives himself for us so that anyone who believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And as we sang, as we know, he rose again. And so we're connected with God. We're connected with Jesus Christ through his death and his resurrection. If this has changed your life, let's live that changed life and proclaim the gospel to others. There's three aspects of the gospel that I want us to consider and reflect on as we proclaim it with our lives. The first thing is this, that the gospel offends. The gospel offends. Now, you might be thinking, well, in this day and age, you got to be very, very careful. You say one wrong word, or you say one wrong phrase, or you talk to the wrong person or this person, and everyone is offended about something these days. So then you might think, well, Pastor Josh, then why would you say the gospel offends? Doesn't that make it a necessarily bad thing? Well, we got to figure out why the gospel offends. Why is it offensive to some, and yet to others, it's a life-changing message of eternal life? The gospel offends. Verse 33, when they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. Now, let's set the stage a little bit of the context before we dive in. The apostles were just miraculously freed by an angel from prison. They had been in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were preaching that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world, and that he was resurrected, and that indeed he is God. The they who are enraged and wanted to kill the apostles are the Sadducees and the Jewish rulers who hold power at that time. That's why they can bring them in and imprison them. That's why they can bring them in and beat them. That's why they can charge them with different things. So they did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. And in fact, as we've been learning, they felt that the apostles were a threat to them. You see, the gospel message of Jesus, though it is to bring life, though it is to bring forgiveness and grace to those who oppose it, for those who are living for themselves, who want to make themselves great, they don't like this message a whole lot. In fact, they're so angry that they want to kill the apostles for continuing to preach the name of Jesus. For them, they felt like, oh, well, these apostles are spreading this message that bring us down. They're blaming us for killing Jesus. They're threatening our power. This Jesus guy, the miracles they're doing, it's just too much. And so for them, the gospel is offensive. The gospel offends them. Even though the apostles are literally just sharing what has happened, what has occurred, this amazing message of Jesus. So we see it happening here. You know, this really isn't, you know, some kind of an anti-Semitic message, and that it was just all on the Jewish people and the Sadducees. Remember that when we're referring to those who are responsible for the death of Jesus within history, yes, it was the Jewish rulers and the Sadducees. But in reality, all of us played a part in putting Jesus upon the cross. Now, you might say, well, how can you say that, Pastor Josh? He was born 2,000 plus years ago, and he died on the cross. So what do you mean I have a part? Remember, all of us have sinned. We're born into brokenness because of the sin of Adam. So why is the gospel so offensive? We see it happening here in our own lives. Why is the gospel so offensive? Because we want to protect ourselves. We want to do the things that we want to do. When the whole world, our whole purpose is all about me, all about myself, my own success, my own gain, then anything that threatens that can be offensive. Anytime something might make us look worse. Some of us have trouble receiving any critique, any criticism. We're ready to fight. We put our fists up. How dare you say something that reflects negatively on me? How dare you say something that makes me look worse? How dare you try to take away the status, the power, the respect that I've built up for myself in this world? Nobody wants to hear something like that. You're not really as good as you think that you are. You're not really as righteous as you think that you are. You're not really as strong as you think that you are. You're not really as smart as you think that you are. You're not really as caring as you think that you are. No one wants to hear negativity about themselves. And so the slightest criticism, and people are ready to throw hands up, ready to fight and defend. Well, the Jewish leaders and Sadducees, they were enraged. They're ready to kill the apostles. They didn't want to face the truth of who Jesus was. They didn't want to face the truth of the message that though they were righteous in their own eyes, though they were the leaders of the Jewish people, that in their hearts, what Jesus was showing them, what the apostles' message was showing them, is that they still had to clean the inside, and that actually they can't clean the inside. Only Jesus can forgive them and cleanse their hearts of their sin. We can't ignore the truth that the Bible teaches us, that though we were made good, when sin entered into the world, we all as humanity came under the wrath of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 reminds us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So there is not one person that is exempt from the need of Christ's healing and forgiveness. You know, some people believe the reason that they came to faith is because they grew up in the church and they generally were good and didn't do many bad, sinful things. And so God forgave them because somehow they had shown that they were maybe good enough to be saved. But this is not the gospel. The true gospel requires us to take a deep look into our hearts, even to the things that are uncomfortable, even to the things that are ugly about ourselves in our hearts. And so we may be ashamed, we may be offended, and we may even be in denial. Our first instinct may be to cover ourselves as Adam and Eve did after they had sinned. We try to hide, we try to put away the bad things of ourselves and say, God, no, that's not really me. Hey, people, that's not really me. But it is us in our hearts, and that's why we need Jesus Christ. That's why we need this gospel that might offend us, and yet it is exactly what we need, because it may offend us, but if we turn to the solution, which the gospel shows us is Jesus Christ alone, then we receive his forgiveness, we receive his grace, and we receive the power of the Holy Spirit to live our lives in the way that he has called us to do. Amen. So if the gospel of Jesus Christ offends you or causes you to be defensive in any area of your life, school, work, leisure time, friendship, your marriage, your parenting, whatever area it may be, this is the question that I have for you. When does obeying God's word, when does the gospel message of Jesus Christ offend you? When do you find yourself conflicted most about following God and his commands, living for Jesus Christ in this changed life? When are you most conflicted? When do you find yourself defending yourself and unable to heed words of truth that might be going against what you want to do? You hear that? It's always a battle of desire. It's always a battle of desires. If you have Jesus Christ in your life and you have a relationship with him, he has given us a new desire, a new nature, a spirit nature that causes us, helps us to see what God wants for our hearts, for wants for our lives. But we still have sinful nature. We still have selfishness that we wrestle with on a daily basis. So in what area of your lives are you most offended? Is it most difficult for you to follow and obey Jesus? Ask God to reveal those things in your life, because those things are going to keep you from fully embracing the gospel message of Jesus. I pray that the gospel truth of his word opens your eyes, humbles you by God's grace. And at first, we may be defensive. That's kind of our go-to. We either ignore or we defend. But when we realize the gospel is grace, when we realize that faith is not just about rules and regulations and what you can and can't do, it's about relationship with Jesus, we learn to see in a new way. And when we receive the love of Jesus, our lives are changed forever. Second thing is this, that the gospel reveals. The gospel reveals. We're going to look at verses 34 to 39 together. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you're about to do with these men. For these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined them. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone, for if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. So they took his advice. We're going to stop there for a moment. So you see, even as this man, Gamaliel, this leader within the temple speaks, everything is still kind of situated around, oh, well, this leader came up and drew people away from us, from our people. Oh, and then this other group rose up, this other leader rose up, and he threatened our power too. But you see, no longer. You know, they died and then their followers were gone. We didn't have anything to worry about. So they're still trying to protect their own power. You see how their lives are still about themselves, their own power, preserving those things. So the point of this second point is the gospel reveals. Well, what does it reveal? I believe as we look at this passage, this portion of the passage, it reveals God's sovereignty. It reveals his plan, his hand over all of human history. It's abundantly clear to see that the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ, this message of salvation, it was proclaimed through the apostles, and it was done through God's plan. Now look at this. In these verses, a man named Gamaliel, he's not a believer of Jesus Christ. He's actually a Pharisee, but he stands up and he, in essence, protects the lives of the apostles who are preaching this gospel. He's well respected, known amongst them. Now, so this is not a deliberate protection of the apostles, but again, the gospel reveals his God's sovereignty. So Gamaliel speaks truth without even knowing just exactly how everything will play out. But God knows. See, he is actually protecting the apostles, even through this man, Gamaliel, that they will be able to continue to share the message, this life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ with the rest of the world. See, God is revealing through this gospel, he reveals that who he is in his character has not changed from beginning to end. He's showing his love, his grace, his mercy, and his plan that the world would know who he is. Look what it says, for if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. So they took his advice. It's kind of interesting, right? You know, Gamaliel, this guy, so even people in history, God knows, and he places people in history to continue to reveal his plan. That we, as God's people now, with this mission, with this purpose to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he was preserving that even from many, many, many years ago, even to the point where we are together today. It's because of the proclamation of this life-changing gospel. The fact that we're sitting in our church together, worshiping and praising him, this is all a result of the gospel revealing the amazing sovereignty and plan of God. This guy Gamaliel was like, hey, let's see what happens to them. There were other leaders, they died, their followers dispersed, they didn't bother us anymore. But it's kind of, so he's kind of a fatalist, right? It's like, whatever happens will happen. You know people like that? Like, they kind of like mix things a little bit, like, oh yeah, well, if God's in control, whatever happens, happens. Okay, those are two different things, okay? Now, don't be a fatalist and think, well, if God is sovereign, just whatever happens, happens, que sera, sera. For those of us who are believers of Jesus Christ, we know the truth that we can trust in God, that no matter what's happening, even within human history, that God is in control. So he protects the apostles. He protects them. See, the big difference in attitude and heart between those who believe in Jesus Christ, have a relationship with him, and those who claim to know God or believe in who he is, but don't truly have a relationship with him, it's so, so big and stark of a contrast. So God reveals himself. God reveals his plan, but the question is, will you turn to him in faith? See, Gamaliel, his approach is not to discern the message of the apostles. his method is not to see, well, is there truth to what they're speaking? Could that be true? He's just like, let's see how things happen, and we've seen this before, and well, if it fails, well, it wasn't from God, and if it succeeds, maybe it is from God. You see, he's not actually even trusting in the one true God that he proclaims to teach about, this Gamaliel. So for believers of Jesus Christ, we are certain of who God is. And because of our relationship with him, through the gospel, we see the plan taking course over human history, teaching us that Jesus, at the center of the story, that he is who we place our faith in. And if you believe in him, you are saved. No other works, no merit, nothing you can do to build yourself up to salvation. The gospel Jesus Christ, revealing the plan of God for humanity. And I just want to stop there and just, you know, God doesn't have to do this. You know, sometimes people are so entitled these days, right? Like, I should have this, or I should have that. Of course, I deserve this, or I deserve that. But the Bible makes it clear that what we deserved, in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, what we deserved was what? We deserved condemnation. We deserved death. We deserve the separation from God the Father. We deserve the separation and no relationship with God because we messed up, because sin came into our lives. Sin entered into humanity. That's what should have happened. But instead, God reveals himself, his sovereignty. And he makes a way. Again, take a look around. In our church right now, we are a part of this gospel revelation. We are a part of that plan that God has in his sovereignty. So how will you live your life as part of this amazing story of God's love, this amazing gospel message? Will you proclaim it with your life? As a church, I pray that we will do that. The last thing is this: the gospel encourages. The gospel encourages. And this is what it says in verse 40. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now, you might say, okay, well, Pastor Josh, you said the point is the gospel encourages. And the verse that you read is that they were called in, beaten, and then charged not to share the message of Jesus, and then they were sent on their way. And you know, it's kind of, the Jewish leaders, they listen to Gamaliel, okay? And so they don't kill the apostles. You kind of just sort of wish, like, okay, well, if they're going to listen to Gamaliel, maybe he should just let them go. But no, he has to bring them in. We still have to do our part, guys, and really threaten their lives that they stop preaching this message of Jesus Christ. Because it still is a threat to us. It still is something that we don't want to be spread and for people to believe. So what might this beating have looked like? You know, it wasn't just a punch on the shoulder, hey, stop that, guys, okay, on your way. Likely the type of beating that the apostles received was quite severe. In Jewish law, during a beating, there was a maximum amount of lashes that were allowed by the whip, which was 39 lashes. And so you can imagine that the Jewish leaders were confident that if we beat them almost to the point of death, that maybe they'll reconsider and think about what they're doing. Think about our words to stop preaching the gospel, to stop proclaiming this gospel of Jesus Christ. And perhaps they were very proud of themselves. We did a really good number on them. We shouldn't have to worry about them anymore. Surely this hardship, surely this difficulty, surely this pain would knock some sense into these apostles. So the question is it worth it to share the gospel, to endure such things? Verse 41 to 42. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. You see, their relationship with Jesus, their life had changed so that even their own bodies, their own physical harm, that paled in comparison to their desire to follow him and to preach and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ with their lives. Their whole purpose was different now. Look, it says they rejoiced. How can you rejoice when you've just been beaten? You see, they had hope for eternal life. They knew life wasn't just about now. What's going to happen if I die? They know what's going to happen. They're going to be with God in glory forever and ever. And so they were beaten, but they rejoiced. You see, they found encouragement in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you, what has beaten you down these days? What has beaten you down in your past? What has been keeping you exhausted and feeling tied down? The gospel, Jesus wants to encourage you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to show you that he's with you and for you, that he is revealing himself to you. And he wants to encourage you so that you can continue to proclaim the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. Beaten, bloody, bruised, but unhindered in their desire to share the name and gospel of Jesus Christ. Just think about that. You know, what a message that must have sent to see after beating them silly. These guys are rejoicing as they leave. I mean, the leaders must have been kind of, I would be even angrier if I was trying to teach someone a lesson. And then they just kind of like, okay, whatever, we're going to go on my way. But they weren't even just like whatever about it. They were rejoicing. Just think about that. It doesn't make any sense. But the gospel encourages us, strengthens us. It's an amazing thing. And it tells us that they did not stop teaching. They did not stop preaching that Christ, Jesus, is the Messiah, that he's the Lord. He's the one who came to take away the sin of the world. Reminded me of Romans chapter 1, verse 16, when the Apostle Paul, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek." That means all people can hear this gospel message. It's an encouragement for all, but especially for those of us who are believers of Jesus Christ. It is the power that we have experienced. It is the life change that we have experienced through the power of the Holy Spirit. So when you are feeling beaten up, will you find encouragement in the gospel? And if you're feeling discouraged, that's not a knock on you saying, hey, believe harder. If you're in a difficult place, this is not a judgment on you saying, hey, just you got to pull yourself up by the spiritual bootstraps and get going with this Christian thing. No, look to the gospel. That's it. Look to Jesus Christ. He's not there to beat you down more. He's there with his arms open saying, look what I have done for you. Will you let me comfort you? Will you let me encourage you? Will you let me strengthen you so that you can live the life that I have called you to now by grace through faith? That your life has changed. The purpose is different. So be encouraged, brothers and sisters in Christ, and find encouragement in the gospel message. You were once lost, but you're now found. You were once blind, but now you can see. You were once condemned, but now you are saved, forgiven, free. Eternal life, eternity is yours. Now what will you do with the life that you have now? From the youngest to oldest, it's always the same question. What will you do with your life right now when we leave these church doors, this sanctuary? Will you proclaim the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? When you're exhausted, beaten, bloody and bruised, will you still proclaim Christ? The gospel is offensive to those who are in sin, those who are wanting to protect themselves, that are still living for themselves. We've all played a part in this death of Jesus Christ. None of our hands are clean. All of us need the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. We deserve death. We deserve the penalty for our sins, but the gospel proclaims that Jesus took it all. And when we receive him in faith, our whole lives change. And the gospel reveals God's grace, his character, his just throughout time, his sovereignty, to make it so that people would come to know him and place their faith in him. So let's join this call from God. Let's join this call from God to proclaim the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Can we do that together? Let's pray. Just take one moment to respond in prayer. And will you ask of God, if you're not a believer of Jesus Christ, you have just heard the gospel proclaimed to you, that all of us fall short of the glory of God, and that it is only Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, believing in him, that we can be saved. How will you respond? As this gospel may offend you, because maybe you feel like you're living a good life and you're not doing wrong things. You're actually helping in the community that you're a part of. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have eternal life with God. You don't have the forgiveness of sins that only Jesus Christ can give. And you don't have the encouragement that the Holy Spirit can give to you. And we want for you to have that life change, that your purpose would no longer be for this world, but for eternity. And for those of us who are believers of Jesus Christ, wake up in your life, not by your own strength, but simply by looking at the gospel of Jesus Christ. And learn to interact with Jesus every day through the word, through prayer. So that as you live your life, as you go to work on Monday, as you meet your family, friends, non-believing strangers, that you will be a source of the proclamation of the life-changing gospel. Invite people to church. Invite people to your fellowship. That many, many more people, many, many more souls will be saved for God's glory. We pray for that just for a minute or so, and then I'll close us in prayer. Let's really take this time. Let's bring it before God. And if there's some area of your life that has been very hard for you to give up to God, some area of your life where the gospel is still offensive, bring that before God as well. Give it to God. Repent. And let his encouragement fill you with his love and grace. Whole lives proclaim the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. God, as others see us, as they hear us, as they interact with us, not because it is something contrived, but because in our hearts we have experienced your love and grace in a real way, may people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ being proclaimed. And God, may that be true of our church as well. That people would know that we worship the one true God, that we live for the one true God, and that we share the message of love that you have given to us to share with them. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage those of us here who may be having difficulty in life, may be feeling exhausted and beaten down in different ways, whether it's by circumstances, relationships, whatever it might be, and that they would find your encouragement, your strengthening, that they would find joy even in the midst of it, and that they would go and never stop in proclaiming your gospel. Because you never change. You're always with us. You're always for us. So we proclaim this message of Jesus, who Christ is, together. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let's rise. Let us rise and sing our closing song. To the right.
we look at the gospel, when we see and remember the amazing gospel message of Jesus Christ, what can we do but respond in great gratitude and love for you? We want to sing with our lives your praises. We want to obey you even when it is difficult. We want to follow you, and we thank you that you strengthen us to do so through the power of your Holy Spirit. God, would you be with our church? Would you help each one of us to embrace the gospel more deeply, that we would never stop thinking and reflecting on the gospel, the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ, and that we would never then stop sharing that same message, proclaiming it with those around us. And now we pray that this amazing, unending love of our God the Father, the grace and compassion of the Son, Jesus Christ, communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you all, both now and forevermore, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. We'd just like to thank you again for joining us for our Sunday worship, for those joining us from home as well. We just want to welcome you if you're a first-time visitor. We're so glad that you were able to join us, and we have visitor cards, connection cards that you can find and fill out if you'd like to know more about our church or get to know more about different ways that you can get involved. So you can ask an usher for that, or they should be on the stand in the back towards the exit. We will have a short fellowship time following immediately after. We're still continuing to follow COVID and restrictions and guidelines. So we'll do that here, still remain with our masks on. If you're a newcomer and you'd like to, I'd like to meet you and introduce myself and a little more of the church to you as well. So I'll be up in the front if you want to come and make your way to me, or I might come and make my way to you if I see you. But let's continue to just love on one another, pray for each other throughout the week, and just live for God and be encouraged in his gospel message. So thank you for joining us, and God bless.